good morning to my team of listeners, and welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show. What's up, Kenny? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a bulletin out of Wayne, New Jersey. A one, Kenny O'Boyle. Not once, not twice, but 12 times cleared the lanes and bowled his first of many, but his first 300 game.
And I'd like to announce my retirement from WFDU. I am joining the PBA team.
Kenny, I feel like I had the birth of another child.
I'm so excited about it too, Coach. I can't lie.
Kenny, I can't congratulate you. You know how much I respect bowling.
You do.
My mother, my father, I was in a bowling league. And to bowl a 300 out in Wayne at T-Bow Lanes, we're giving them a big plug. Make sure the people out there know it's because February's
right.
Coming up. Kenny, congratulations.
Yeah, it was crazy. I struck the first frame in the third game.
Yes.
Again in the second frame, third, fourth, so on and so forth. I got nine in a row heading into the 10th. The first two balls were solid.
Yeah.
But then that third ball, when it was really
you need
there,
that
final ball.
Yes.
That's when I really started to shake. And as a matter of fact, I threw a bad ball. It kind of fell out of my hand.
That's how it happens.
It kind of fell out of my hand. It traveled way right. And the whole time, you can actually hear me. There's video of this. I'll have to show it to you. I'm yelling, come back, come back, come back. And then somehow, some way, the ball found the pocket. And it wasn't a clean strike. The pins fell, and then there was the one pin that was standing, and then at the very end,
oh my God,
toppled right over. It was a great experience.
That had to be not only, but the nerve, like, because if that last pin just stays up.
It would have been heartbreaking. It would have fell down to the floor.
So when you turn around, are there people on the lanes, or are they waiting
They've kind of gathered around.
They got their hands
out.
They swarmed you.
Swarmed. And
no instant replay, no toe on the line.
High five and everybody.
No saints.
No foul, nothing like that. It's legit, a sanctioned 300.
Kenny, we got a 300 guest coming up.
I know.
Congrats again. We got...
Thanks.
12-time Emmy-winning director from Fox Sports Network, Rich Russo, a Jersey guy, on the Greg Herenda Show after this.
Hey, this is Peter King of NBC Sports. You're listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU.
You're listening to the Sunday morning programs on WFDU-FM. Sports fans, it's now time for the two-minute warning. Here's Arnie Schreer.
News item. Copycats. I'm Arnie Schreer for the two-minute warning. Well, one thing both the NFL and Major League Baseball to continue to demonstrate is imitation is the best form of flattery. The recent NFL head coaching hirings proved that every team wanted to find that quarterback whisperer, that savior on offense, that new young hire, that person, just like Sean McVay in L.A. McVay was brought to the Rams after quarterback Jared Goff started off slowly out of the gates and was deemed just another first-round flop under old coach Jeff Fisher. But alas, arrived the young, innovative, offensive-minded McVay, and that seemed to not only turn the Rams' fortune around, but also Goff's. And now every NFL team wants their own McVay. And by the looks of the hires, most teams think they've got their man. Aside from a few veteran moves and the Jets hiring Adam Gase, the rest read like a who's who of nobodies. Freddie Kitchen in Cleveland, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, and Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. Oh, and by the way, baseball is no different. As soon as the Houston Astros won the World Series in 2017, every team wanted their own manager like A.J. Hinch, a no-name, analytics-minded manager who could relate to his young team. Case in point, Alex Cora in Boston, Craig Counsell in Milwaukee, Mickey Callaway here with the Mets, and of course, Aaron Boone with the Yankees. None with previous managerial experience, but all who believed in a philosophy. In other words, copycatting. For the 2-minute warning, I'm Arnie Schreier.
And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where today we are privileged and honored to have Kenny, a 12-time Emmy Award. He's the Fox lead NFL director of the A-Team. That's Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Aaron Andrews. That's the class of the NFL and Fox Sports. Rich Russo, welcome to the Greg Herenda Show.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me. I'm not sure I'm worthy of that introduction.
Oh,
but,
you are so much that. I know you were born in Long Island. I'll look past that. I look at you as a Jersey guy. Do you still live down there? Are you in Homedale now? Where do you live now, Rich?
Yeah, I'm in Monmouth County, and I'm in Homedale.
Yep. Okay.
We love it down here. We've been here for about 12 years now.
Gotcha. Were you a communications major at Penn State? And how do you go from Penn State to being the guru, the director of not only you were with CBS, and now you're at Fox and you're the lead guy? Tell me about your college career and how it transcended into your professional career.
Well, honestly, Greg, I mean, I really started directing, you know, when I was at Fox. I mean, at CBS, I was there for about 9 years and really,
yep,
you know, worked my way up. I had the opportunity to work my way up as a researcher, broadcast associate, associate director.
Sure.
But I was at Penn State, you know, I was a lacrosse player. And to be honest with you,
yes,
what started me at CBS was a phone call. My assistant lacrosse coach called on his behalf, somebody he knew. Turns out to be one of Brent Musburger's assistants, and just really,
it.
I went on, one interview, and then that turned on to a series of interviews, and I ended up, you know, being persistent and getting just a really entry level job, making $50 a day at CBS, you know, right out of college. I was really fortunate. I owe it to my assistant lacrosse coach there.
It's amazing yeah, how, you know, obviously I'm the head basketball coach here at Fairleigh Dickinson. How it just comes down to relationships, you know, with people. And I think athletics is a great conduit for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just goes – everyone, like Jim Nantz, you know, played golf at Houston with Fred Couples. And you get in that world, and you were lucky enough with one of your lacrosse coaches to get in that world. And once you're in that world, if you're good enough, you know, you stick and you do well. And I love hearing about how people start, and that's a great start.
Well, there's no question. I mean, I knew that I wanted to get into sport. I had no idea I wanted to really get into television or what specific avenue, but I knew I wanted to get into sports,
right,
in some capacity, you know, whether,
sure,
maybe working for a team or a league or whatever. And then you're right. I mean, sports was just was a really good avenue,
yes,
and a good way to network for your future. And I was really, really fortunate.
What was
really
your first job that took you to a venue? Like, I know you've done everything, you know, in regards to NCAA college basketball, the Super Bowls, but what was the first venue that you went and you went, wow, like with Brent
Musburger?
Well,
I'll tell you what, I was in 1986, you know, a year out of college. You know, the year prior I worked as a researcher, but then I was assigned to work with Pat Summerall and John Madden on that crew.
Wow.
So then I was traveling, and I remember,
jeez,
telling my parents,
yes,
you know, they assigned me. I said to my parents, I said, oh, my gosh, I better not screw this up, because where I'm working right now is really at the top of everything in,
yes,
this field. And I just basically learned this from my father. I kept my head down. I just,
yep,
worked my butt off, and
yes,
whatever they needed,
yes,
you know, I did. And you know, it turns out I was a broadcast associate, which I did some of the graphics on there. But the Super Bowl in Pasadena, what was called the second BA when the Giants played Denver, that was really the first big event I was at. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. Yeah.
Tell me something. I know our mutual friend Bird Barty at Fox Sports told me about your stories with John Madden, with Pat Summerall. Like, do you have anything that – something small that happened or big that happened that you can share with our audience? Because our audience – I think the demographics, Kenny, for my show, a little bit older. You know, like right now, so like Pat Summerall, and those are my – I mean, I grew up with those guys, and they're like legends. They're giants.
Well, there's no question. They were such legendary, you know, announcers, and not only that, but just people. I mean, right. They were obviously so great at what they did, but more importantly, they were, you know, such great, you know, people even behind the scenes. And I got to tell you, I just learned a lot from them.
Right.
You know, John, who was a teacher, you know, before coaching, he was really an incredible teacher of the game of football. And,
yes.
You know, he made sure that we, even me as a kid out of college,
yep.
You know, I try to learn as much as I could from him, whether it be football or, you know, he also had a great insight into television and how he wanted to see the game, you know, portrayed. But,
very bright man,
you know,
Rich. Very bright man, wasn't he?
Yeah, and for both of them, you just wanted to do such a great job that you would just do anything for them.
Yes.
And as I said earlier, you know, like I said, like I learned from my dad, to just kind of keep my head down and just,
yep.
You know, really work my butt off. But it was just an awesome, awesome experience. And I worked with them at CBS, and then I had the opportunity when I went over to Fox. I became the associate director the second year I was at Fox and got a chance to work with them for a couple of years again after that.
After that Super Bowl, when your first Super Bowl, did you ever think that, you know, one day you would be the Mac Daddy? You'd be like, when I was an assistant coach, I just remember when I was young, I always put my shoes in the head coach's spot. I always wanted to be, you know, the Roy Williams, or I went, my first Final Four was when Villanova beat Georgetown. So I always put myself in the shoes of the – did you do that right away? Did you have that foresight, or were you just, like you said, listening to your dad and doing your job every day? But were you also dreaming about directing – you know, you directed the Super Bowl that was right here in MetLife. Like, I mean, that's a dream come true. Did you see that long ago?
Well, that's a great point and a great question. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know, initially when I was working with them,
yep.
You know, there's so many different facets of this business.
Right.
But I, you know, there was a legendary producer and director team, Bob Stenner and Sandy Grossman, who worked with John and Pat for years.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, as I went through and learned the business, I kind of really took a liking to what Sandy did, you know, as a director.
Yes.
And, you know, I started asking him questions, but it, you know, it was a couple of years, 3-4 years. I had no idea if I would ever get a chance to direct anything.
Right.
You know, you have no idea at that time. But,
sure.
I knew I took a liking to that part of the business.
Yep.
And felt, you know, kind of like what you're saying. I said, boy, it would be pretty, you know, now a lot of things had to fall in place.
Yep.
You know, the timing of it, the fact that Fox didn't, you know, Fox didn't exist at that point. And
right.
Then Fox
True.
Got the rights to the NFC in football in 1994,
which I couldn't fathom that. My whole deal was like the NFL was split into two conferences. The AFC was owned by NBC, and the NFC was owned by CBS. And when that changed, I got to be honest with you, Rich. It kind of shook. It's almost like, you know, like, I don't know, like England seceding from the Brexit or whatever. It's not the way it should be. You know what I mean? And when Fox came in, obviously they've done a great job, but it kind of scared me, to be honest with you. It was just
As John Madden said, when Fox first got football, they really were known as Fox Sport.
Right.
The only thing they had was, you know, was football. And then Fox went on to get other properties, you know, down the line.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, so, you know, people were just so in tune to watch, you know, CBS and, you know, and NBC and then, you know,
yes.
Monday Night Football. So it was a big change. But what it really did, and I was fortunate, Ed Gorin and David Hill, you know, they brought me over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you got to, you know, like, you know, you kind of take chances.
Right.
And, you know, if I was still at CBS, I wouldn't have the role I have today. You know, they a lot of their directors now were there when I was there.
Yes.
And there wasn't going to be movement. So part of it was going over there to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, being an associate director and then getting a chance.
It's a great move for you. Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question, Rich, and it's a very I guess, fundamental question. The difference between a producer and a director
what's the
difference?
It's really important. It's part of, you're all part of a great team.
Right.
So you're constantly working together. I mean, sure. I'm very fortunate to work with just an incredible, incredible team, you know, from the production, from the technical side. You know, basically in a very simplistic form, you know, the director is responsible for the visuals.
Gotcha.
The live cameras, getting, you know, the viewer from point A to point B to point C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the producer is really responsible for the overall content, the editorial.
The talent.
In a broadcast, yes, the balance, correct.
Sure.
That's really it in a simplistic. But the producer and director, they're constantly working together. You know, different producers and directors work differently.
Right.
But I know I'm fortunate. You know, I have this. I work with this producer, Richie Zients, who I'm fortunate, who's really, you know, one of the best in the business, hands down. He's just so good at what he does. And as I've kind of always said, he really does set the tone for our entire, you know, our entire broadcast. But,
Rich,
that's basically the difference kind of in a simplistic.
So then, Rich, let the truth be known that you were the director of the game last weekend where the New Orleans Saints – played the Los Angeles Rams in the most controversial play. That's really, it's the next biggest thing to Katrina in New Orleans. So you were, how do you produce that? Did you guys know at that moment it was as big as it is now? And each day it gets bigger. Like you're in the control room and this thing is happening. What goes on behind the scenes when a play like that happens and you've got the instant replay and you got the talent?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know it's a big situation. You know it's a big play. You know what happens in this business is a lot of times you go and play to play to play, and you always want to be able to see the big picture. You know, a lot of times it's not really till, I mean, you know it's going to be talked about.
Right.
You know, after the fact. You're not really thinking about how much it's going to be talked
about. Right, you just got
to
do your job.
You know, our job is really to document. Our job is to document what has just occurred, to react to what has just happened. So, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, I think, you know, Troy and Joe, they hit it right, you know.
Yeah, they were right on
top.
It.
And, you know, and Mike Pereira said that, you know, it was definitely a call. And, you know, we had to get, you know, the replays up and you know, fast. And it was pretty amazing. But it's just, you know, what we do is we just – do the best we can to tell the story.
You kind of cover the news.
And obviously, you want to see Sean Payton's reaction. Obviously, he was, you know, pissed off. He's upset. And and you want to show the right number of replays and camera angles.
Hey, Rich, here's a pet peeve of mine. And I watch the game, and I really watch it because I did color with John Sterling for the Yes Sports Network. And it was a tremendous experience. And Drew Kalisky was the producer. So I got to know what goes on behind a little bit. And so when I watch games now, I just watch it differently. And, like, even at the end of games, I think the NFL does it better. But in college basketball, like, when Jim Boeheim gets beat by Buffalo this year, I want to see the handshake because I want to see the young coach from Buffalo shake the hands in the Carrier Dome of Jim Boeheim and just see how hot Boeheim is. Is it a quick blow-by? And they'll miss in college, and I'm not putting down any particular Fox, ESPN, whoever does the game. They'll show, like, and if it's two kids, like, crying and hugging on the floor, I get that. But now it'll be like they'll just blow by that. And I'm like, you can't miss the moment, can you?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think there's a balance, okay? Because, you know, for example, if, you know, we had a game-winning, you know, you have a game-winning field goal.
Right.
You know, Zerline kicks a 50, for example, you know, 57-yarder, you know, and you have all the emotion, and you have McVay,
right,
you know, going crazy. And obviously he's going to get to Peyton. And we showed, you know, you could see the handshake.
Right.
You know, but you have to balance because obviously you have to show replays. You don't know when.
Yep.
You know, specifically, he's going to, in a live moment, you can always come back and replay it.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think there are certain visuals that you want to see. And that coach handshake is important.
It's huge.
There's no question about it.
And who's
especially when you know who the, you know, when the coaches, you know, if there's a real story there. But I do.
Right.
I think, you know, teams have just gotten done playing and you want to see the coaches
the emotion.
Shaking hands. But a lot of times you don't know exactly when that's going to happen,
Rich,
during the course of, you know, postgame.
Rich, whose call is that then? Is that the producers, the directors, or somebody in between? Like,
well,
what shot they're going to show?
The director's handling the live cameras, okay?
Yeah.
And really the way, you know, the producer, is handling, you know, the replays and when
gotcha.
To specifically go to replays. But if, you know, as a director, you can delay a replay potentially if you see the coaches are going to shake hands. So
right.
it's what I mean about really
coming
you
together,
know, being part of a team,
yes.
and really talking and working. But things, you know, what happens, it's like basketball. You know, things happen quickly.
Amen.
Things happen instinctively, and you have to make, you know, there's no do-overs. You know, you
no.
have to make these decisions very, very quickly.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a big part of it.
What I love, too, just to go backwards a little bit, because I'm a romantic, I'm a nostalgic, I love seeing the old graphics, though, and you must look and just laugh sometimes when you see the 70s graphics of just the score and the clock is sometimes it was a picture of the black clock in Municipal Stadium in or Cleveland or wherever. Like, and the graphics now are just state-of-the-art, like Kenny O'Boyle-type graphics that are just out of sight. How about the transformation of your profession?
Well, we do laugh, and I'll tell you, you know, now around the Super Bowl, you know, what happens is they end up playing a lot of these old Super Bowls back.
Right.
You know,
right.
from way back, you know, from Kirk Gowdy and, you know, Emberg, you know. And to be honest with you, it is, you're 100% right. You know, we look back and we say, boy, can you imagine that's how
that was it?
Television was
that
done
was it?
Back then?
Oh.
And, you know, now with technology and,
yes.
you know, now it's just pretty amazing. I mean, the scoreboard, like you said.
Right.
You know, we had our David Hill, who, you know, Fox came up with the continuous score. I think at first some people thought he was crazy.
Yep.
And meanwhile, now you can't watch a telecast without the continuous score. I mean, it was
exactly
it was genius. It was something that should have been done years ago.
I know.
But there's no question technology.
Let me throw a name out at you, Rich. Like the voices that I miss, like Ray Scott. You remember do you remember Ray Scott?
Sure. No, absolutely.
For Green Bay Packers. I mean, Kenny, these voices were Al DeRogatis. He used to do games.
You know, Kirk Gowdy and Al DeRogatis doing the AFC West. Oh, I remember as a kid, going out and playing football in my yard. And then, you know,
the Chargers.
Going out and watching the Chiefs.
Chargers, Chiefs, Gowdy. Oakland. Oh, my, the Snake.
Yeah.
Kenny,
yeah.
Those were the – I know I sound old, but that was the NFL. Like,
you got to realize, too, back then there were really only three networks.
That's
you
it.
Yeah. So it wasn't like so much was being televised.
So, yeah, so exactly.
There was a big difference back then.
No. You're so right. And I miss it so much because now my son automatically, what does he do on Sunday, Kenny, when we're watching like three games? What does he go to? What station?
Red Zone Channel.
The Red Zone Channel. And it's incredibly informative. But our Red Zone Channel when we were kids was Monday Night Football. When Howard Cosell would go back over them. That's the only time. And if you missed Howard at halftime for like 4 minutes, you would miss that whole week. You would have no idea what happened, correct?
Not only that, but you'd look forward to the halftime highlights.
You would just
wait. There's no question about it. It's funny because we did the Thursday nights and the Sunday doubleheader games this year. So we actually had, you know, some Sundays off. You know, some of the single header games
that
our group would have off because we double up. So, you know, I'd be watching the games, and you mentioned the red zone. Well, I've never had a really chance to watch the red zone before because I'm always working.
Exactly.
So I would be home on a Sunday, and I would watch the red zone. I'm saying this is what people do.
Yeah.
You know, especially all these people with fantasy.
That's
you
the all
coming
the
up
kid,
on,
the kids,
on the screen.
All they do.
You know, it's like it's all they do.
It's not, and they're good. The guy that does it is really, really good at it.
Scott Hansen. They're good. They do a nice job.
They do a really, really good job. But it's almost too easy. You know, anytime anyone gets inside the 20, and then they have four different cameras. And I just like the whole aspect of the unknown, like hearing about, oh, wait a minute, the Chiefs are up. And then you just could imagine them being up. And now you see every play, every touchdown. I'm a college basketball coach. I know you've got Indiana, Michigan. Tell me about the juice in those arenas. Like right now, Michigan State has got it going on in that league, and I'm a really good friend, but I worked Tom Izzo. I worked the camp out at Michigan State when Tom Izzo was the assistant and Judd Heathcote was the head basketball coach in East Lansing. So I the Big Ten to me, I know Fox does a bunch of the Big East and the Big Ten, is a great league. Tell me about the juice of doing that Indiana, Michigan.
You know, you say that because, you know, I've predominantly been working the Big East.
Right.
But now that we have the Big Ten, I'm always wanting to do,
yes,
you know, more and more Big Ten games.
Right.
You know, they kind of localize it a little bit, so I'm doing more Big – but I, gotcha. I'll make a point to do some Big Ten. And the games that I've done in the Big Ten, I just love the atmosphere. You know, I was at Assembly Hall really just once before.
Yes.
You know, in Bloomington, and that was like last year, and I just loved it. And there's just such a great,
it's
you
a
know,
religion.
Great atmosphere.
It's a religion. Like in the Big East, it's a religion. Like when you go to an Indiana-Michigan game, it's – pomp and circumstance, it's religion. In the Big East, I would equate it more to like going to like a local prize fight. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Like guys go
right.
and gamble right. and drink and hang and bounce. And there's different, not only there's families that bring their grandchildren, their grandfathers that are Spartans or they're Hoosiers, and it's like, and at us back in the East, I think, look at that, are like, wow, that's really – and we have our own shtick here back here. It's great. But I love the Big Ten. I know a lot of the coaches there, and it's great. So your job, to be honest with you, Rich, and the time is ticking, is an incredible job, and you get paid handsomely for it. Like, you feel guilty or what?
Well, first of all, I'm very fortunate, and I do know that.
That's
I'm
good to
know.
I'm
very lucky. I'm
Sounds
very fortunate,
like it.
To do what I'm doing. I mean, I work with great people, and I'm not just saying that. I'm not just blowing smoke.
Right.
But I do love, you know, I really do love what I do.
Yes.
And I always tell people,
Sounds
boy,
like
if you
it.
Develop, if you could develop a passion.
Yes.
You know, like I'm sitting there on Monday, okay?
Right.
I flew home from New Orleans, and I had to go through Atlanta, mm-hmm. and there was a, you know, I was delayed like almost 4 hours in Atlanta.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like, and now I'm sitting to myself, I said, hold on a second.
Right.
Let me just take a step.
Relax.
Wait, whoa. Relax. I'm delayed 4 hours in Atlanta. I just got a chance to direct the NFC Championship game. It's going to be okay. You know what I mean? It's not that, you know, everything's going to work out
fine. You're
going
to go home and recover and then go do an Indiana-Michigan
game. Yeah,
I mean,
we're not, you know, we're not saving lives. We're, you know, we're not curing cancer.
No.
We're doing, I mean, we just love what we do, and it's obviously everyone has a job that's important.
Yes.
And I'm just very fortunate, and
you.
I just really enjoy
Rich,
what I do. So,
thank God,
you know,
for
like
that.
Like I said, this game on Friday is, you know, it's a great Big Ten, you know, Michigan-Indiana matchup. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank God for that lacrosse coach at Penn State, Rich.
Well, I said this to him. I had lunch with him. He works with the USGA, and this was about eight or 9 months
hook
ago.
Me
hadn't
up.
Seen him. And I said to him, I said, you know, if it wasn't for that phone call, who knows what I'd be doing right now.
Hey, you know what? What you do, you've done it 12 times to get an Emmy, and I'm sure you're as far as Bardia is concerned out in Fox, out in L.A., there's no nicer guy in the profession than Rich Russo. Rich, I can't thank you enough. I'd love to have you as our guest here at Fairleigh Dickinson anytime for a game, and just come to practice, come to a game, and come see the Knights play.
Anytime, Greg. I really appreciate it. Thanks very much for having me.
Rich, thank you so much. And we'll be back with more after this.
Hi, this is Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports. You're listening to the Greg Herrenda Show on WFDU. Go get them, coach.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
That is a good dude. He's got it, Kenny. The one thing I like about Rich is he was there with Madden, and now he's there with Aikman, and he's made the steps right.
Yeah, he did it the right way.
Oh.
And fascinating stuff. I watch these games like you do, thinking about these guys in the control room.
Oh, what a job.
Really cool.
Bird, thanks out there in L.A. Fox for getting Rich Russo. To our fans, LIU, Thursday night.
Crime Stoppers night.
Crime Stoppers. Seth Greenberg, ESPN national TV game. Come out Thursday night and be a night. Peace.
And wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?